Just making sure I was at the right place. I'm supposed to give a sermon this morning, so just checking if y'all were with me. Else I'm going to be talking to myself, you know what I'm saying? Come on now, church. Good to be with you. They invited me back, so I guess I didn't do too bad last time. There is a man who's a football coach. He won 292 games. He was named the NFL High School Coach of the Year. He won 2 state titles. This man was an unbelievable coach, but more than that, he was an unbelievable person. The reason why we know this is because of the way his kids carry on his legacy. See, Ed Thomas was a coach. If you guys watch ESPN, this was on the ESPYs. It's a award show, kind of like the Grammys, but the ESPYs for sports athletes. And they give out these awards, for some of them the best player of the year. So most of them are all sports related, which are kind of lame. But one of them is called the Arthur Ashe Award. And it's for somebody who does something incredible past sports. And this year was given to the Thomas family. And after their dad, Ed Thomas. Ed Thomas was a head football coach in Parkersburg, Iowa, so not too far from here. He was in Parkersburg in 2008, if you remember. There was a giant tornado that basically wiped out the whole community. There's a NAB church in Parkersburg, too, but the whole town basically got wiped out. And 3 months after that tornado came through, Ed Thomas kind of got the football team together, and he said out of all of his games, that first game that he had coming back was after the tornado. It was more than football. It was something that united the whole community. And a year after that had happened, in 2009, Ed was doing what he does. He was working with the athletes in the weight room. 22 students were with him. And one of his past player's son and one of his current player's brother showed up with a gun and shot Ed 7 times, and Ed lost his life that day. And the most amazing part about Ed's story is how his sons reacted when this terrible, tragic thing happened to their family. They got in front of the whole community and gave compassion to the family, offered to walk with them, and actually went to their house and prayed with them and wept with them. And in the next day, one of the shooter's brothers was really struggling with, man, what is this? I don't get why my brother would take the life of such a good man. How are we supposed to live with this? And the two brothers came over to the house and wept with them. It's, I believe, in those tough situations, those things that kind of catch us off guard, that we don't like when something bad happens to us, that our character is most revealed. It's in those tough times when somebody does something to you that it shows us really, truly who we are. I highly encourage you. Today we're going to read about a story of a guy, not a story, but a guy Paul's going to be writing, and Paul's been going through some of these same tough things, tough situations, and just the things he has, the wisdom and the joy that this man has in the midst of all this. If you could flip with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. If you have a Memorial Bible, which is right under the seat in front of you, it's page 893. And we're just going to get into God's Word. I'm going to not tell so many stories, but just we're going to let God's Word speak to us and change us, because that's what God's Word does. So let's just open with prayer and pray that God's Spirit moves. God, you know that I am truly unworthy to be up here, that I really have nothing to say other than you. So today I just want to preach you. I want your Spirit, God, just blow through this place. Speak through me. Use me. God, I believe you're true and you're real and you're big and you've got big plans for us. God, maybe today is the day that might change some directions and change some hearts. And God, may we be guided by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, that you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. I got a real question this morning. What guides your life? What's in control of your life? Because this question really has huge implications on where you're headed, the person you're becoming, the places you're going. What guides your life? Now, if our lives were a car, now some of you fellas are like, ooh, 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 yeah. What kind of cars are like a sweet car right now? So I need some help. Audience participation. Car. What was that? Muscle cars. I don't even know what that is, Dad. I need some help. What kind? Exactly what I'm talking about. See? That's what I'm talking. See, for me, it's like I could just do with a Cadillac. Ladies, what kind of car are you? Where are you at, ladies? 93 Honda. Exactly. Perfect, babe. So if our life is a car, 93 Honda, whatever your life is, Cadillac, muscle car, whatever it is, who's driving? What's guiding? What's in control? Because really what drives us is where we're going. I believe it's one of three options. I believe for a lot of us, it's us. And if you're like me, you don't like giving up the driver's seat. You wanna be rolling it. And for some of us, it is Jesus. Jesus is rolling our lives. But for some of us, we're driving, and you know, we want Jesus in the shotgun, or maybe in the back seat, or maybe on the back bumper, you know, just so everybody else knows that Jesus is on this ride, you know. Another option, I believe, is our sinful nature. I believe Satan a lot of times drives our vehicle. For some of us, we keep him in our trunk because we know, you know, this stuff's bad. We shouldn't be doing it. This whole thing is running my life. I got to keep him in the trunk. But the thing is, with Satan, he's always trying to get into the back seat, and he'll try to get into the shotgun, and he's trying to run our lives and control them. And Jesus is trying to free our lives. But the thing with Jesus, if he isn't driving your vehicle, then the truth is this morning that he's probably not in your vehicle, because Jesus is he's too big and too holy and too to be anything other than the center of our lives. So let's carry on. Verse 17, the sinful nature, what I was talking about with Satan, and the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Paul had been talking about freedom in Christ in chapter 5. We've been talking about freedom the last couple weeks here. Free, free, free. You're free. And you're truly free when you live by the Spirit, because you're under no obligation to the law of Moses. You see, there's two forces that I was talking about. Good, evil, Jesus versus evil, your sinful nature. There's two forces that are either guiding your lives. One is your sinful nature, which looks a lot like you driving. And the other one is the Spirit. And Paul is urging us, whatever you do, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Guys, I'm sure we know all about that list, and I'm not here to cast judgment on anybody, but the truth is that some of us live by this list. And I'd say there's a difference between having it in your life and trying to combat it and living this sort of life when it becomes who you are. Like, this is what I am. I'm going towards those things instead of going away from them. And Paul's very clear that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God can be translated as the kingdom of heaven. It's God's reign here on earth, and it's already started through Jesus bringing it in, and it's continuing till the day Jesus comes back and brings his kingdom to fulfillment. Now, Paul goes on to talk about, there's a big but here in verse 22. There's a huge but. Whoa. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The Holy Spirit guiding our life is very contrary to our sinful nature controlling our lives. When I look at that list of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, I think back to when I first became a Jesus follower, and I wanted to give my life to God, and I wanted him to transform me and change me into a new person. And to be honest with you, I stand up here today, and somewhere along the line, I just feel I lost that passion, that intensity to have God transform me and change me. And maybe some of you can relate. That fire to get into his word, the fire to let the Spirit guide our lives. And it's like the longer I've been a Christian, I've just kind of forgotten what it's all about. I've kind of lost my way a little bit. And 2 weeks ago, I told you I've been at Camp Judson with young people. The first week, we were with middle schoolers, and we talked about American idols and how we put all these things in front of God, and how he needs to be the center of our lives. And we had an awesome week. Things were going good. We'd have cabin discussions, and the kids were, like, fired up about talking. They're fired up about being there. And I was just so pumped about what God was doing there. And then I had 2 days off, and then the next day, a high schooler showed up. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. We're just going to keep doing this. And I tried doing the exact same things I was doing with the middle schoolers. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm pretty decent at this. You know, I've been studying theology for 6 years. I've been a youth pastor working to be one for 5 years. And, you know, I've got some credentials. I should really be all right at this. You know, I can play some fun games. So I start talking about Jesus, and they're like, geez, man, is this all we're doing? Like, all we're doing at church camp is talking about Jesus this whole time? I'm like, it's church camp, yeah. That's what we do. They're like, well, you know, one of them goes, can I have my $210 back? Because I thought you said this is going to be fun, and I'm just like, yeah, Jesus, I know some of these students need you. And I know that there's something good, that there's a reason why I signed up to come here. And God, I don't know where it is right now. It seems like I could talk about anything. I could talk about Shark Week or drop a Will Ferrell quote, and I'm instantly the coolest person alive. But if I drop Jesus, it just gets awkward. And it got awkward. And I just kind of just hung in there. And it came to Thursday. And Thursday, I show up for a meeting that we have just with the counselors, and there's a couple of youth pastors, but most are just volunteers who are there. I said, you know what, guys, like, this is my job, but I mean, these are my kids too, but I just don't know what's going on. I'm trying to talk, I'm trying to bring up God's word, I'm trying to talk about Jesus, and nobody cares. Like, they'd rather talk about anything else. I said, you know what, I don't know what else to do other than pray that God does something here, that God's Spirit would move and God would change hearts. And we sat there and prayed, and I felt like, you know, a big failure. I was like, my job's a youth pastor, which is being an expert at something that I can't even do. Like, I can't change nobody. And I was, I guess, naive to think that God wouldn't show up and do something. And that night we had a service, and I really wasn't even looking forward to it. I was like, God, let's just get this over with as fast as we can. And I asked the students to come up, and there were about 30 leaders. And we just come up, and then any student that wanted to come up and ask for prayer, and then we just say a blessing, you know, God's truth into their lives. And God showed up in a huge way. We had so many students come to know Jesus, to want to rededicate their lives. I had two of my own kids come up to me and say that they wanted Jesus to be the center of their life, and they wanted their whole life to be about Him. And they wanted to be baptized. So I'm called back here. I was like, hey, can I baptize students when they're over there? Is that cool? Like, I don't know. Let's call their mom. When in doubt, call their mom. So I called some moms. Like, moms, what do you think? And God showed up in a huge way. And two of my friends are here today. If they want to come up to the front. Levi Vanderwhitey and Tyler Yuki. Yeah. Awesome. These are a couple of my brothers, and I'd like to introduce you to some brothers in Christ. This is Levi Vanderwoody, and I want to—he picked a scripture to read. Is there? But before we do that, I know we have some family and friends of Levi. Are any of them here? If you want to stand up, any family and friends? Ooh, yeah, you guys got them. They roll pretty thick. They come. Levi picked this. Thank you, guys. Levi picked this passage out of Philippians 2. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not cling to equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took a humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So Levi, I want to give you the certificate. I'm going to show the video here in a moment. But Tyler also got baptized. So Tyler, here's your certificate. And Tyler's got some family and friends. So if you want to stand up. I know he's got some friends over there. Yeah, too. Awesome. Tyler picked this passage out of Ecclesiastes 3, verse 20. Both go to the same place. They come from dust, and to dust they return. So, God, I'm just so grateful that you're walking this journey with us. And give it up for these guys one more time. Awesome. So, yeah, you can go grab a seat. You can grab a seat. Thanks, guys. So, if you're taking notes, living a Holy Spirit-guided life, what does that look like? Because that's what's going to transform Tyler and Levi. That's what's going to transform us. It says in verse 22 that the Holy Spirit produces it. It's something that God does in us. And it requires two things. Tony, do we got that slide? It requires two things. Obedience and trust. Obedience requires listening and spending time in God's Word. It's developing those types of ears that can hear. Obedience is difficult, and trust is hard. But the walk of Jesus is a steady walk of obedience in the same direction. And it starts to begin like to look like Christ. Is being, a little fruity. Because we need fruit in our lives. The fruit that Paul talks about are godly characteristics. Characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Those are characteristics that God has that His Spirit begins to put in our lives. One question I always ask is, and this is a good question to write down, what would I be without the Holy Spirit? I mean, where would I be without God's work in my life? Because really, that's our hope, that God begins to do something, and that's the story of fruit. So the question is, do we need a change? Do we need to go a new direction? Because you and me, we can't change ourselves. if we could change ourselves this morning and we could produce these fruit in our lives, then we wouldn't need God, as we would be all the things that He is. But He begins to put them in our lives. Now this part, I don't necessarily like talking about. I don't know if there's an easy way to say it. When I start talking about sin, it's like, how do I tell people not to be sinful when I'm sinful? And how do I draw people to live godly when there's areas in my life? And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the last 10% of you. I mean, that piece that only you know about, or just a few people know about. The part that tells you that you're the only one this morning. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. And you start to feel like you're the only one going through this thing, or the only one struggling through this. If that's you this morning and you've got a last 10%, I just want you to look around. Don't look at me, because I'll feel like I'm the only one. Just look around. Every one of us goes through that. Every single person has that last 10%. And we're not alone. See, my experience with my 10% is that it leads me to more sin. It leads me to feeling unworthy. It's when Satan attacks me the most. And most times, my last 10%, it ends up driving me away from God instead of driving me to God. See, guys, we aren't perfect. We're not worthy. That's why we need Jesus to transform us and change us and turn us back into something. But it's only through Him who can do it for us. We all have our 10%. So the question is, do you need fruit in your life this morning? Do you need God's characteristics in your life? Because God knows I do. And lastly, living a Spirit-guided life leads us to two places. The first is to being a servant, to a life that surrenders to Jesus and serves Him. When you have fruit in your life, you begin to look like Jesus. No, not so that we can be Him. We've had that problem before with fruit. We get a little fruit in our lives and we start to think we can be like God, if you remember, in the garden, Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us that we get to be co-heirs with Jesus, that the promises He put on Jesus can become our promises if we trust and obey Him. Earlier today, I was going to pick up this awesome sign. And I was talking about how since the beginning of God's interaction and working with people, He made a covenant with this man named Abram, which He later changed him into Abraham. And God's enters into this covenant and He says, Abraham, you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be blessed to be a blessing. You're going to be blessed to be a blessing. Everyone through you is going to be blessing. The truth is, I bought this couple about a year ago, and I had my friend Art Goosey saw off the ED. Earlier I said I have a problem with the ED, and some of you are giggling. It's all right. But truly, I think we all have a problem with the ED. We have a problem with being blessed people. Because see, the point of being a blessed people is not to stay just the blessed people. The truth is, we're all blessed. We have clean water. For some of us this week, we didn't have clean water. Then I went to Hy-Vee to try to beat you, and you beat me there, so me and my friend Chad had to run all around the city to get some clean water. And the story is that, and this morning I was holding this up, I was talking about how I got it at Hobby Lobby. It cost me like $18. I was lifting it up, and I slipped out of my hand accidentally. I didn't try to do it. It just happened, which I'm not going to do it again because I don't want to bust it anymore. But it fell, and I busted this piece of it. and I tried taping it because I was going to do it again, but it fell off. But what, and you should have heard them. I've never heard the first service get crazy like that. We were getting into it because we realized it when I dropped it, what it's all about, my brothers and sisters. We are busted, broken, fragile people who have sin, every single one of us. We all got this piece of our heart, and no matter how big or small it is, that rebels against God. It is an opposition against God. We're broken people, but at the same time, we're blessed people. But the point of being a blessed people is not so that you stay simply a blessed people. The fruit that God gives us, the gifts that He gives us that Paul talks about in Ephesians, are not intended so that we can put ourselves above other people. The fruit and the gifts that God gives us are intended so that we can lift up others around us. The point of being blessed is so that we can bless, all the while still being broken. And God puts us back together. And we, some of us, have those fractures, and I'm trying to run from mine. And there's a place that you can put them. Check this out, y'all. Check out verse 24, and then we're going to get out of here this morning. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Guys, if you got stuff, if you got sinful desires, and I know I got them, and I know you got them, the place to put that crap is at the cross, because the cross is the only place that can take it. The cross is the only place that can take all that sin on it, on Jesus, and it can wipe him down and can put him in a grave. But we know the story that 3 days later, raised to new life. And that's the story of baptism. That's what Levi and Tyler did today. They did a week ago, but recognized today. Is they're saying, my old life, I'm dropping it into the water so that I can be raised again to new life. That's the story of Jesus, is raising people to new life. Once was dead and hollow, now I have a new life. Verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Guys, following Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives, is every conversation. It's every second. It's that last 10% of us and what we do with it. It's our whole life. Jesus is about our whole life. Pray with me this morning. God, we celebrate you. We celebrate Tyler and Levi and their point of just saying that they want to follow you. God, the truth is that we're unworthy. We're broken people who carry around this stuff, and we let it defeat us. And honestly, we let that stuff keep us away from you. And that stuff should be the stuff that points us to say, we need you, Lord. So this morning, we just say we need you as a group. We need your transformation. We need your characteristics, your fruit in our lives. So God, transform us. Make us into new people. And be blessed. We're blessed whether we know you or don't know you. But God, make us a blessing. Help us to do the verb, the action, and to bless others. God, thank you for this morning and for your presence in our lives. We don't know what we would be without you in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.